Well, good morning. This is Sunday, November 8th, about 11:30. And I'm going to attempt to make a talk today. I feel a need to pour out. And I make no promises about next week. But for this morning, here we are. I had a really good visit yesterday with Lori and her husband. We had dinner with Madeline and myself. We had Hungarian goulash and homemade garlic bread and a salad. And it was quite a lovely evening for me. And I want to thank Lori for the work that she's taken on. And she knows what it is. Also, I would like to thank everyone who's been in meditation, knowing the truth, where this appearance seems to be. I asked Herb Fitch one time, I said, when I was very young, I said, we were walking on a famous golf course and Hawaii, and I said, Herb, is the world mind omnipresent? Because it seems at times like in every direction you look, there it is. And he said, no, I don't believe so. He said, it's just that wherever God is, world mind appears to be. So again, that would mean it's not out there to me. It would mean that it's in the mind that's falsely seeing God. And the appearances, as you know, my wife is going into the hospital for surgery on Tuesday, in 2 days from now. And it's going to be kind of hectic here because we'll be running back and forth from here to Asheville, and I'll be in charge of the three children. Of course, they're special needs kids. And so it should be very interesting. I think we'll be eating out a lot, whether we want to or not, just for the convenience. So anyway, I really sincerely want to thank all of you. I can't name you all individually. That would take up the whole tape, the whole talk. But just let me say the members of the Mystical Principles list or group, thank you so much for your prayers and your meditation for my wife in order to see that she's not there. God is there, appearing as. And thank you so much for that work. And anybody else that has become aware of the request for help, and is helping also to see the truth where the appearance appears. Thank you. Just thank all of you. I was reading the Wisdom today, which Linda has been kind enough to post on the Mystical Principles group. And there was that wisdom again. God is not in the human scene. If you really understood the significance of that statement, you could lay down your life and pick it up again at will. That thing just stays with me. Every time I hear it, it has a high vibration inside my being, like a pitchfork that you hit against your knee and or against the table, and it hums. That statement just hums inside of my being. God is not in the human scene. And of course that makes sense, because if the human scene is an appearance entirely in world mind, then where is the human scene? And the answer is nowhere. So how could God be in it? It does not exist. Oh yes, it exists as a something you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. but it doesn't exist as an eternal reality. It's a temple made with the mind, the world mind, the mind that sees the world. It's not a temple not made with the mind. And we are all moving into, hopefully, glimpses of that temple not made with mind, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A temple, a universe that really is eternal. And this morning I picked up my good old black Infinite Way book, and I read a few sentences in Our Real Existence, which seemed to go together quite nicely with that wisdom. I think it should be kind of shocking when you really consider it. He starts right off, and remember, this was the first book of The Infinite Way, and he said he toned it down quite a bit so as not to shock people. Yet if you really look at it, it's still shocking, or it's shocking anyway. It says, our real existence is as spirit. Well, elsewhere he says, I think we read it the other day in Beyond Words and Thoughts, there is no structural universe. I think it was in the chapter Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe. He talks about in healing what's necessary is to see, to behold the incorporeal man, incorporeal God, and incorporeal universe. And in beholding that, harmony appears. So when you catch a glimpse of reality, it changes that world thought, doesn't it? It dissolves it, and more of harmony appears. He tells us that in The Art of Spiritual Healing. Our offense and defense, he says, I think it's the chapter, What Did Hinder You? He says, our offense and defense is something that's not mental, not physical. It's a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And there's that expression again, without hands or without a mind. Elsewhere, he asks the question, a probing question. How would you heal if you could not use your mind? All of that is so beautiful to me. It just resonates in my being. I don't know if it does in you, but I can feel it. I can feel the importance of it. And so here where he says our real existence is as spirit, that should be quite shocking, because when I look here with my eyes, I see a human body. It's a man. He's almost 62. He's 5'8.5". He's about 20 pounds too much. You see, I didn't tell you my weight, did I? But it's a body here. It's a human body. And he's sitting in this chair, comfortable computer chair, and looking at his computer screen and this recording being made. But God is not in the human scene. So where is this body I'm looking at? Is this a body not made with hands? No. This is most definitely a body made with hands. This entire structural universe is a body made with hands. Or a world made by mind. What is called Lord God in Genesis. And in the Thunder of Silence. So we're looking, I'm looking at world mind. So it becomes necessary if I'm going to find out or see or behold or catch a glimpse of my real existence or her real existence or your real existence as spirit, well then I must close my eyes. I must close my eyes to this world thought, this universe made of mind. And then, with my eyes closed, I hear the fan running in the background. I hear the hum of the fan on the computer. These two are structural images. These two are not made by God. God is not in that scene. And so I must become still and stop focusing, stop listening to the human scene. Well now, I'm not looking at the human scene. I'm not listening to the human scene. Then what am I supposed to listen to? What am I supposed to look at? Our real existence is as spirit. I happen to know very well that of myself I can do nothing. And so I can't reveal the spiritual creation, the spiritual man, spiritual woman, spiritual being, myself. I can't reveal it. But I can stand stock still. I can ask Father, or I, or Christ, or Is, please reveal yourself. Please reveal the self. Please reveal omnipresent self. And then I can listen. Listen deep within. Listen. Be still and know. My friend Sue told me one time that she remembers as a child putting her ear on the railroad tracks and listening, and she could hear, way off, miles away, a train coming. And this is the way we listen. We put our inner ear, we point it towards the invisible, the infinite invisible. Speak. Thy servant heareth. And if we know how, we can eliminate for a moment the concept called human self. There is no structural man here, woman here. There is only an image. It's a universal image. It belongs to no one. And now drop it. God is omnipresence. God is living itself. Behold, I come quickly. And now rest in the Father. Behold, it is I. Be not afraid. And in this stillness, I feel that living presence, which is everywhere. And it's enough just to rest in it and know it is everywhere. I don't have to manipulate it. I don't have to funnel it or channel it or pour it into or force it or into a certain direction. I just have to know that it is. and rest on that sea of spirit. And so, yes, our real existence is as spirit. And he says, some seekers may not understand what we mean by this. Now, they took that line out in later editions. I guess they didn't want some seekers to know that they hadn't yet attained. But I like the original because it tells me some of us may not understand what is meant by our real existence is as spirit. So he's going to clarify. Only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. Only in the degree that you and I perceive, catch glimpses, feel, know our real existence is as spirit, in that degree, I drop a false sense of life. So if I must be born again, and I must be, that is what the Master told us, that is what our brother, our elder brother told us, ye must be born of the Spirit. Right here, it tells me that as I catch that feeling, not a thought, please, not a thought, no more thoughts. They are useless. They do nothing. They heal nothing. But as I catch a glimpse in my meditation of spirit omnipresent, then I am beginning to drop a false sense of life as human. And I'm beginning to really know God is not in the human scene, in the human thoughts. God is not in a temple made with mind. No, God is in spirit. God is spirit. Then, he says, we see the structural life of man or animal or plant is a false sense of existence. Well, there you have it. My kitty cat right there, and this man I'm looking at in this chair. This is a false sense of spirit. My real existence, well, that's a better way to say that, would be the only real existence is spirit. Everything else is a false concept between, well, it's a glass darkly, isn't it? Between me and the truth that I am. And so it's a false sense about spirit. I look at spirit, or I move through spirit, but I see a structural universe. Just think of that. I just told you I'm turning 62 in a few months. Now, all of those years, I have moved and lived and moved and had my being in spirit. God is a spirit, says Christ. And I've lived and moved and had my being in it all these many years. And before I was manifest here, I was in the invisible and moving through the spirit. There can be nothing else on any plane of existence. But for most of my life, I beheld a structural life of man, animal, and plant, and mineral. So I move through the spirit, but I see a structural universe. Very strange, isn't it? It's the ultimate dream. Adam fell asleep he fell asleep, and he named everything. And he never woke up until we get all the way to the New Testament where Christ says, "Awake, thou that sleepest. Awake." And so you and I are awakening to our real existence is as spirit. And Joel says, our concern for the so-called necessities of material living has been unnecessary. Yes, I'm going to look at that chapter again in Thunder of Silence called, let me think for a minute. Oh yeah, of course. We're talking about our real existence as spirit, and the chapter is, this is a spiritual universe, or a spirit universe. And I was thinking of looking at that again because I just love so much the way he says he was without baggage for 3 weeks and he was convinced that the baggage would show up. And then he sort of reprimands himself and he says, Joel, that is, he says, we go along quite nicely and we're knowing that no person is here, no structural universe is here, and we're catching glimpses of incorporeal being, invisible being, temple not made with hands, a universe of God's creating. And then we're easily tripped up because we start expecting baggage to be where it's supposed to be. And he said, make no mistake about it, my mistake, he said, was not in looking for baggage and expecting it. My mistake, he says, was, my mistake was expecting it to be where it should be. So instead of knowing that this was a spiritual universe, he was expecting material baggage to show up. And when he realized that, he stopped looking for baggage. He went back to the principle, the infinite way principle, that this is a spiritual universe. He went back to this. Our real existence is a spirit. There is no baggage. Every idea is omnipresent in spirit. And so everything I need is right here. Always. And then the next day the baggage showed up. It's very strange, isn't it? I remember so many years ago being told, you're going to have to learn how to sit down and stand up at the same time. You're going to have to learn how to move through this appearance of a structural universe while at the same time knowing your real existence is a spirit and this is a spiritual universe. So, I was thinking of looking at that chapter again because it points up there is no baggage. Stop looking for baggage to be healed and start recognizing spirit, our real existence, and rest in that. And then it appears as a healing. And that's the strange thing. You're not looking for a healing. You're looking for a way to drop your false sense of existence. And the way is here. In the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit, do we drop the false sense of life as material? And there it is. And when we do that and we're successful and we perceive our real existence as spirit, then the false sense of a material, mortal person or baggage is dropped. And then our perception of spirit appears as harmonious being here and now. And so it's sort of, now you see me, now you don't. So Joel says, although the beauties we behold all hint at God's creation, They are not that spiritual and perfect creation. And so if you see something, and that's kind of the part that people don't like to hear, if you see a beautiful sunset, a gorgeous snow-capped mountain, a very still and quiet lake, a rainbow when the sun comes out and peeks through the clouds, if you see snowflakes falling, or the gold and yellow and brown and green and peach and salmon colors of autumn and red and yellow, when you see those colors, all these beautiful things, they all hint at God's creation. But they are not that spiritual and perfect creation. No, because, well, Herb says it better than anybody I know. He says the beautiful tropical island can suddenly become a hurricane-ravaged village. Or the beautiful mountain behind your house can become a mudslide and take away your house. Or the beautiful ocean that you're looking at can become a tidal wave which wipes out a little town. Or that lovely still lake can become polluted and infested. Why? Because none of this that we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is eternal. You have enough atom bombs in the United States alone to blow this planet into a gazillion pieces and float off into the universe like another meteor belt. You can't do that to God's creation. So this then is not God's creation. So then God is not in this scene. This then is a series of universal thought. And so we're looking at universal thought and calling it life. Calling it beautiful today and calling it ugly tomorrow. We're calling it alive today and we're calling it deceased tomorrow. We're calling it young today and we're calling it old. Decrepit tomorrow. Such a universe is horrible. There's no way that could be God's creation. And it's not made of spirit. It's made of mind. But above this sense life, says Joel, is a universe of spirit. A universe governed by love. A universe that's eternal. A universe in which all that exists is spirit. And catching a glimpse of that universe, of that spirit, that omnipresent self, then the yin and yang, the good and the evil of this world, begins to dissolve. And you can't hang on to the good and not get some evil. So he handles both sides of it here. The beauties we behold all hint at God's creation. They are not that spiritual and perfect creation. The sick, aging, dying appearances are not at all a part of real life. And when we know that by experience, by glimpsing behind them, then only do we begin to catch glimpses of eternal spiritual existence, untouched by material conditions or mortal thoughts. And that's another thing that resonates inside of me. It just has such a beautiful implication. I can feel it spreading to infinity. A universe untouched by mortal thought. Think of that. I know if you've lived as long as I have, you've all had thoughts about which you feel guilty. Wow, how could I be thinking that? That's not spiritual at all. Or maybe I was mad and I didn't mean that thought. Oh, I'd like to take that thought back. That thought for revenge, because that man hurt that little kid. Yeah, we've all had those thoughts. But we know now that those are not our thoughts. Are those Spirit's thoughts? No, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. And our real existence is a spirit. And so there's a real existence, a real self of you, that has never had a single mortal thought. Think of that. A self untouched by mortal thought. A universe untouched by mortal thought. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, says Spirit. And I, Spirit, is all there is. And so I am a spirit untouched by mortal thought. God is a spirit untouched by mortal thought. Your mortal thought never reaches God. Thank God. So you can throw out the guilt, because that's not your thought. That's a universal thought. It was there before you. It will be there after you leave. But there's a self of you that is untouched by any mortal thought ever. And when you're in that self, you know your real existence is as spirit. So, he says, as we turn from the world, we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And how do you turn from that? Back to the top of our real existence. In the degree that we perceive, only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit, do we drop the false sense of life as material. And so, that's how we turn. Turn ye and live. Live as spirit. As we turn from the world, we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. We catch inspired visions, which show forth the earth of God's creating. There is an earth of God's creating. There is a temple, not made with hands, not made with mind. There is a self, not made by mortal thought. There is a self created in the image and likeness of God. And there is an earth, a new earth, that perhaps you've never seen. But when you drop the false sense of life as material, you catch inspired visions, which show forth the earth of God's creating. This temple not made with hands, this spiritual universe, this universe of spirit untouched by mortal thought. Wow, huh? That's one paragraph. And that one paragraph is, how could you read that and not be changed in some way? Finally, we're only looking at two paragraphs today. Finally, he says, in healing work, we must turn from the structural universe we see. So there you are. You must close the eyes to the structural universe. Close the ears. All of the five senses, close them. And stand stock still. He says, we must remember, we are not called upon to heal it, change it, alter it, correct it, or save it. We who see a structural universe must turn away from that. And we must remember, we're not called upon to do anything with the structural universe, because that is the mortal thought. That's the human scene in which God doesn't exist. And so why would we want to do anything with it? Would we want to see it evil or good? We don't want to see either one of those. We want to see spirit, which is neither. Remember, all thought is either good or evil. But my thoughts are not your thoughts. So spirit thought is neither one of those. Joel says, when you reach the absolute center of your being, you will know and feel the is. You won't feel a power for good or for evil. You will simply feel is. And further, he says, is alone overcomes the world, which means when you remember you're not called upon to heal, change, alter, correct, or save this series of mortal thoughts, then you'll stop trying. You'll stand still. You'll become a beholder. You'll catch an inspired vision of that your real existence is as spirit, or the person you are working for, their real existence is as spirit. And you'll stop trying to change anything. Because when you know the real existence as spirit, as an experience, you will rest in that spirit. There's nothing else you can do. You reach the center. You feel the is. And there's an overpowering knowing that you can just rest now. No, you don't have to flap your arms and try to heal it, fix it, change it, alter it. You don't have to work that hard. You have to rest and behold. All through the writings, be a beholder, be a beholder, be a beholder. How? Well, only in the degree that we perceive our real existence is as spirit do we stop trying to fix it. We drop the false sense of life as material. He says, now this is in regard to the structural universe that you see. We are first of all to realize that it exists only as illusion, as the false sense of life. So, if you see a structural universe that needs healing, you are looking at a false mortal thought. Now, what can you do about a false mortal thought? What really can you do about a false mortal thought? Nothing. And you're not required to. You are required to realize it exists as illusion. An illusion in here, because no illusion is ever externalized. So the entire human scene is taking place, the entire structural universe is existing as a mortal thought in the universal world mind. If you see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, you are looking at, directly at, that world thought. And what can you do about it? Nothing. What are you required to do about it? Nothing. What are you required to know about it? You are required to know it's not a universe. It's a series of universal thoughts. And then you're required to drop them. Step back. Center down within yourself. Find your center. Find that place where you can rest and catch a glimpse of God as is, or catch a glimpse of the spiritual universe, the temple not made with hands. Then when you catch that glimpse and you open your eyes and you go about your business, more of harmony appears. It's still an appearance. It's still not the absolute. But it is grace. It is. It is spirit being interpreted by the mind as harmony. All right, so finally, He says, if you can do this, if you can realize that the structural universe you see exists only as an illusion, as false sense of God, it's a false sense of God. You're looking at God, but you're seeing it as a structural universe. When you know this, really know it, he says, from this vantage point, being up here in consciousness, then we behold through spiritual sense the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he's in agreement. When you stop trying to change the bad into the good, and you recognize both of these, even though I sometimes like the good, even though I sometimes don't like the evil, both of these exist only as an illusion in the mind. If it's a world I'm looking at, of good or evil, it's an illusion in the mind. And so if I see good, this perfect little 12-year-old child that looks like a cherub, looks like an angel, let me tune in 70 years when they're 85 and they're all wrinkled up and bent over with arthritis and crippled up and on all sorts of steroids and can barely walk. What has happened here? Nothing. Nothing's happened. It was an illusion to begin with. Today it appeared as good, tomorrow it appears as evil. They're both the same sides to the same coin. It's an illusion. I don't like to let go of the good. I know you don't either. I don't want to let go of that perfect spouse. Well, I'd better, if I'm going to catch a glimpse of that our real existence is as spirit. This is a very delicate path that we walk. It's a very strange path. We are peculiar people. To be able to walk down the street of a major metropolis, look into the windows and perhaps window shop, come upon the clothing store you were looking for and walk inside and try on the clothes, all the time knowing that you're walking and living and moving and having your being in spirit. And hopefully you're taking several times a day to do what we just did here. Drop the false sense of life as material and perceive with spiritual sense our real existence is as spirit. If you're practicing these 2-minute meditations several times during the day and in the night if you wake up, then you should be coming into these glimpses. And so you're going to be a very strange person, walking in a spiritual universe while taking care of everything that the so-called material universe is presenting to you. Oh, you'll be putting on the brake in your car when you come up to a red light. You'll be sitting down to pay your taxes or balance your checkbook. You'll be remembering to pack lunches for the little ones. You'll be remembering to feed the cat and the dog. You'll be remembering to get your car serviced. And all the time, you'll be very different than a regular human being because you will be catching these inspired visions of a temple not made with hands. And you'll be knowing and resting in that temple while going about your business. Now, if that isn't being in the world but not of it, I do not know what is. That's the way I live. I know no other. Since I was 17 or 18 years old and I had my first glimpse, that's the way I've lived. And when I met Herb, I said the same to him. I said, Herb, I need to tell you, you're not my teacher. I have a teacher, and the teacher is within. And I explained about these glimpses, and wow, he beamed at me. And throughout my life, I've had these glimpses. Every day, at some point, because I take these mini meditations, I perceive through the spiritual sense our real existence as a spirit. And I'm telling you, I am so grateful for that. When I look out at the images that World Mind is presenting of this world, it looks really pretty sorry. The children that we work with all have the attitude that the world owes them a living. They're looking for ways to get government checks. Many of the girls make the discovery that if they have babies, the government will give them checks. And so they, the other batch files for disability. Nobody wants to work. I can't quite understand that. Well, I can understand it, but it seems like a foreign world to me. And it is. I have never had a time where I don't have to work. Which is why I made this talk today, because I just kept feeling I need to pour something out. And I thought, well, maybe it's that chapter in Thunder of Silence, This is a Spiritual Universe, which is nagging at me. But it turned out that it was just a couple of paragraphs in Our Real Existence. I suppose we will review that chapter again at some point, This is a Spiritual Universe. But let's just, for the fun of it, because we have about 15 minutes left, let's look at a couple of sentences in here. Here's a wowzer. Nothing occupies time or space but our mental images. Well, that's pretty plain. And then the other half, the minute we rise above the mental realm, we shall perceive there's no such thing as time. Now that's a tricky one. We should do a talk on there's no such thing as time one of these days. I remember Don telling me when I was 19, 20, he said, eventually in your meditation you'll discover there's no such thing as time. And then you'll have all the time in the world to complete this spiritual path. Or however he put it, but it was something like that. There is no such thing as an awareness of time or space in the consciousness of omnipresence. Alright? So when you perceive your real existence is as spirit, or when you sit down to meditate for someone and you begin with a thought that they have a problem and you have to heal it, well, Joel says you never bring anybody into meditation. Because why? Because you'd be then in the human realm, that temple made of thoughts. And you don't want to heal a temple made of thoughts. You don't want anything to do with it. So he says here, when you drop it, then you have an awareness or a glimpse that there's no such thing as either time or space, because you're in the consciousness of omnipresent spirit. That's pretty heavy duty. You know, I read this for the first time when I was 18 or 19, and I breezed right through the book, and, well, what's so special about that? But as I began to catch glimpses, and I read it again, I'm probably on the 100th time, I go, wow, how long has that been in there? How long has that been there? All right, and there was one part in particular I wanted to... Yes, here it is. We become very sure of ourselves and believe that we are going along in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, the hypnotism of human sense can make us think about baggage or the lack of it. Now, hypnotism of human sense means we're not having a glimpse of our real existence or the real universe or the temple not made with hands. We're just walking along looking at these mental images and we're totally enthralled with them. Oh my God, look at that beautiful mountain, all those colors. Oh my God, how could such a terrible thing happen to such a good person? It's horrible. See, now that's hypnotism. But remember, I know you're tired of hearing it, but I'm not tired of saying it for some reason. Remember, in the New Horizon, the first glimpse of reality, or the temple not made with hands, or the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are hypnotism. The realization the entire human scene, its good and its evil, is illusion. With that realization comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation. And so there it is again. So, in the thunder of silence, he's saying, we become very sure of ourselves and all of a sudden we're hypnotized by baggage. He says, my mistake. He says, now please understand that I was not concerned about the loss of my baggage. My mistake was that I was sure it would turn up, which is exactly like being sure that a person's heart is going to get well, or that a person with cancer is going to be healed. Whereas the principle upon which all of our work is based is the real creation, as recounted in the first chapter of Genesis, in which God made all that was made, and all that he made is good. Now listen to this line here. Oh, so very important. The spiritual creation is an incorporeal creation. You see that? It's incorporeal. It has no structural existence. The sense world, which we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, is the unreal creation described in the second chapter of Genesis, a mental image in the mind. Now, just in case you think he's a little bit cuckoo, he says, don't mistake or misunderstand what I'm saying. I know when we're traveling, baggage seems real and necessary. I know that I'm going to be taking my wife to the hospital on Tuesday. I also know most of the time our concept of body seems real because one thing or another brings it into our awareness. And because of that, there is the temptation to think of it as real. There is no such thing as material body. There is only material concept of body. And so we're standing in a spiritual universe. We're seeing material bodies. That's the hypnotism. How do you awaken? You remember? In The Art of Spiritual Healing, how do you awaken? He wanted to know. He asked himself, how do you awaken? I know what it is now. I know it's hypnotism. I have caught a glimpse of spiritual reality, but they don't come very often. How do I awaken? Well, rather than just guessing, let's see what he says. He says, it was then I discovered the scriptural passage which you will find throughout my writings. The stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. Here's how we awaken from the hypnotism. The weapon against error, good or evil, whatever you're caught up in and you need to awaken from, the weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical nor mental. Something that is no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. As you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness while you stand to the side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come, and you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. And finally, the principle behind this is that the activity of hypnotism, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. It's because the human mind is the substance and activity of hypnotism. So when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped, and hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. You will catch a glimpse of God as is. You will catch a glimpse of a temple not made with thought. You will catch a glimpse of a universe untouched by mortal thought. You will catch a glimpse of our real existence as spirit. And then you will rest and you will behold. Well, that's what I would like you all to do this week. And I'm going to do it too. As I'm sitting in the waiting area and the surgery is going on, I'm going to look past that and catch a glimpse of our real existence as spirit. I'm going to be knowing there is no structural universe, no structural person. Yes, I know that's a beautiful person. Yes, I know that's a ugly-looking disease. But both of those ends to that stick are this hypnotism. And Father, I would awaken and be satisfied with thy likeness. Okay, well, thank you for letting me pour out a little today. I feel better now that I've given something to the universe. And hopefully I didn't give anything to the universe, but I stood a little to the side and beheld this talk. Now, we'll be still for a moment and see if there's anything else before we complete this. Remember, you are not to do anything about the hypnotism. After you've seen what it is, you are only to release it. And then, if you must, you may say, Father, reveal thyself, thy spiritual universe, thy self as spirit. Or, Father, reveal thee self as spirit. And then be still. And when you feel it, when you catch a glimpse or a feeling of that beautiful temple not made with hands, not made with thought, that spiritual temple, then rest in it. Be grateful for it. And stay in it as long as you feel it. And then, open your eyes, go about your business, And later, when you have another moment, take a 2-minute meditation. And later, and later, and later, until you begin to make that inner transformation from a hypnotized walking human to the risen Christ consciousness. Thank you, my friends. I love you. God bless.